The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to another teaching from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. On this particular Sunday, Dr. Jay Dudley was preaching, and he disclosed three what he called stunning experiences of answered prayer that, like the psalmist who wrote Psalm 27, David, had a similarly soul-altering impact on him. He describes the sermon as a three-point experiential amen to Psalm 27:1. It was a delightful teaching, and I'm grateful for Jay. So now join Jay Dudley in a sermon titled, Educating a Prayer Skeptic.
Once there was a young man, kind of a bewildered young fellow, and he was talking to an older, wiser man. He asked the old man, "What is life anyway?" The old guy looked at him and said, "Life is what happens while you're expecting something else." Well, life happened to me this week like that. I was deep into study and preparation for today and was very politely informed that I was in the wrong week. I was preparing for next week, according to the lectionary readings. Put the brakes on, pull back, look this thing over again. So what happens in the next 30 minutes or so is plan B. Well, maybe it's plan A. I don't know. But it begins with Psalm 27, verse 1. And Anitra and I love this New Jerusalem Bible. Anitra is the only other person on the planet I know that even has one of these. It's a rarely used translation, but it is so vivid, and so the language is so rich. And instead of the Lord in the Psalms, it says Yahweh, the Jewish, one of the Hebrew names for God. And so it reminds us when we read it that, hey, this is not an American book. This came from somewhere else, farther away and longer ago. But it has a lot to do with right now. But just the first verse alone. Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Yahweh is the fortress of my life. Whom should I dread? Behind this, behind these words, is a soul-altering experience of God. Something, he's had this encounter with God, and it's changed him. He's, who should I be afraid of, given what God has done for me? Well, recently, I've had some of those kinds of experiences. And this morning, I'm compelled to share them with you because it's all I got. And you can only give what you got, you know. So, now a few of you have heard pieces of this, but not the whole. And so, here comes a three-point amen to Psalm 27, verse 1. Yeah, David, me too. And what I intend to share with you today is really about God, not about me, but it involves me. First experience, this past October, we were on a, I think Nathan was there, Pete was there, Trail Life Camp, Sly Park. For those of you watching at home, or in Romania or Canada, or wherever you might be looking on from, Sly Park is a wonderful reservoir and camping area about an hour's drive east of here in the Sierra foothills. We had a great weekend. Dads and sons and learning and having a great time learning how to sharpen a knife, how to start a fire, and how to put the fire out, and how, all these good outdoor skills, and other things went on. It was just a blast. We really had a great time. And Sunday morning came, and everybody is pretty much up and at it Sunday morning. We have a morning service outside and just have a great time. I was beside myself because I could not find my keys. I've been there for two nights. You know, you got to keep track of your keys, man. And I had stuff in my truck that I needed to get to another guy's truck, and I can't find my keys. And I am exasperated with a capital E and an exclamation mark on the end there. Really frustrated. I'm kicking around in the dirt because I'd already put my tent away, and Brian, Troop Master comes up to me. He sees me kind of kicking around in the dirt where my tent was, and he goes, "Don't tell me you're looking for your keys." And I said, "Yeah, I'm looking for my keys." And he started helping me look. I turned everything over, inside out, whatever, three times, and I could not find my stupid keys. Well, he started talking to me about, well, you could call Chris and have her meet you in Placerville and come, you know, I could take you down there. She could come back up here. Yeah, right. I want to call my wife and have her come up here and rescue the doofus who can't find his keys. There's got to be a better way. Besides that, it's Delilah. Some of you know Delilah from Christmas time. It was her birthday party that afternoon. This is crunch time, man. I have got to get down the hill. I got to get myself squared away. Chris and Luca were there. And Chris Murray gets wind of this whole thing. And Chris and Murray come over. And Chris asked me, can I just go through your stuff again? I said, sure, go through it. Chris goes through it another time. The tent, everything, sleeping bag, the whole deal. Turned everything upside down. He couldn't find him either. Chris goes, I think we should pray about this. What? I mean, I didn't say that to him, but inside I said, that never occurred to me. You know, you're just a doofus. You forgot your keys. You don't talk to God about forgotten keys. That's your problem, man. But Chris wanted to pray about it. And I said, in deference to Chris's faith, let's do that. Let's do it. So Chris prays this wonderful, simple prayer about how we needed help. He didn't nail me. We need help here, Lord. Unbelievable. So I just, probably a minute and a half later, I looked in this coat. What? My keys. What? Wow. So I go across the road, and I have my keys, I show Brian my keys, he starts smiling, and I tell everybody what happened. And little Holden Okamura, I wish you could all meet Holden Okamura. He's one of the guys, one of the kids in the trail. He heard me tell the story. He's like this little Hawaiian guy, little kid. He goes, Chaplain, he goes, you should tell that story to the whole troop. I said, that's a good idea, Holden. So at the next meeting, I did. But I didn't tell them what I was thinking privately in my own heart the whole time until I found my keys. What I was thinking, I'm going to tell you that now. What I was thinking is, I know, I got to have a designated key place. I put the keys there every time. Can't be in the truck because you got to lock the truck up. Got to be there. I need, not a box, I need a little cloth bag. Just a little cloth bag that I keep those keys in every time without fail. That's what I need. When I get home, I just gotta figure out how to find a little cloth bag. So, all right. 2 days later, on a Tuesday night, I went to a Johnny and Friends banquet with my youngest son, who has some hearing impairment and some other stuff going on, and has become really involved in Johnny and Friends. Now, for those of you that don't know, Johnny Erickson became a quadriplegic because of a diving accident when he was 17 years old. And out of that tragedy, God has built a worldwide ministry to disabled people that is absolutely phenomenal, mind-blowing in its breadth and depth. It's amazing. I found out a lot about it that night that I didn't know. They will, for example, round up wheelchairs and get those wheelchairs to prisons where prisoners can have learn some life skills, some hands-on skills, refurbishing wheelchairs, and then they'll send those things out all over the world to where people need a wheelchair. It's amazing. Well, at this very impressive dinner and program, the table hosts for my son and I were a pastor, a former pastor, and his wife, and their Down syndrome son. That son's disabilities were so severe that it knocked Dad out of the ministry. They just couldn't do it. But anyway, their life story is really fabulous, and we just had a great evening. Very gracious, friendly, happy man, their son, this wonderful woman. At the end of this thing, you know, it's the style now to give a thank you gift for coming to these things. So I see this coming around. It's got these little things in it. You can't see them from here, but these are little paintings and drawings that Johnny has done by painting with her mouth. She's amazing at this. And these things are really, really awesome. Guess what they were in? A little cloth bag. I'm flabbergasted. Do you know what a wink is? Yeah, you all know what a wink is. Can you wink? I can't wink very, very good, but I know one when I see one. I know a really good one when I see one. I looked up the definition of winking, or actually why we wink, and it goes like this: to show affection. To spark a laugh. Or to share an inside secret. I had told nobody. But I wanted a little cloth bag. So I didn't goof up again with my keys camping. When that lady passed me this little cloth bag, no one knew. Nobody knew this except God. Man. What do you say to that? I was flabbergasted. So that's the third thing. I mean, the second thing. The third thing. So we've got this. What do we got? Lost keys found because Chris prayed for the prayer skeptic. Because I am, man. I don't understand this. One guy on a marble of mud in a vast universe, and you're telling me that I can talk to God and get an answer? That does not seem reasonable to me. It just doesn't. I just don't get it. I mean, it's not that I don't pray, but I do, but I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand how it could even work, how it could be possible. So, all right. Incident number three, we've got lost keys, we got little cloth bag, and the third one, final one, is that on January 6th, I had two appointments. The first one was with my brother. Now, my brother has had psychiatric problems for decades. On Christmas Day, he had a self-inflicted near-death experience and ended up on a 5150 in a local hospital. When you are held on a 5150, they can hold you for two 72-hour periods, but if they want to hold you for a third, they have to be a hearing. My brother wanted me to come to the hearing, so I went, okay. I said, you know, I got another appointment that day, but that's a beautiful thing, it's a beautiful plan, I'll go to the hearing, and then I'll go to my appointment, cool. I get to the hearing, and nobody knows what's going on in the hospital. Nobody, what hearing? Oh, yeah, hearing. Oh, yeah, I was supposed to be hearing. Well, what happened was an administrator at the hospital blew the whole thing. The hearing was over before we knew it began, and I had sat there for 2 hours with waiting for nothing, and now I had another hour and a half before my next appointment. Weird. Time on my hands is weird. So, and you know, life is what happens when you're expecting something else. So what do I do with 2 hours or so? Oh, well, I go to REI and look around. Nah. No. Because, I'll tell you why. Because Melody was on my mind, my heart, and I need to tell you about Melody. Melody is my, Chris and I, oldest granddaughter. 17 years old. In May, she graduated from high school in 3 years. This is a pedal to the metal kind of girl. Get it done. In mid-August, the Air Force kind of fumbled the thing, and she wanted to get in the military, and the Air Force kind of fumbled it. She went to the Army people, and they had her in 3 days. It was like... So this whole summer, she's seeing a lot of this boy named Ryan. Ryan is a really fine young man. He's a guitarist, and he plays on the worship team at Destiny. And anyway, she spent a lot of time with Ryan, and so right before she left for boot camp, she and I went out to lunch, and she told me very sweetly, very kind of coyly, actually, "Grandpa, I just want you to know that Ryan and I are in premarital counseling." What? I didn't tell her that either. Okay, wait a minute. High school, Army, marriage. That's a pretty quick trip. But I was all, oh man. I was so positive about Ryan, and da 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 da. She goes, "Grandpa, you know, Ryan thinks you're really cool." And I said, "Oh, well, now you can marry him for sure now." Okay. But mid-November, she leaves for Fort Jackson, South Carolina. She becomes a squad leader because she's that kind of a girl. And in the Army, if you go in at the right time or the wrong, whatever, you get 2 weeks off at Christmas. So she comes home. She turns 18 on Christmas Day. And on the 29th, she and Ryan get married. We are all reeling. And then there's a short honeymoon, and she's got to go back to boot camp. What? Wedding and boot camp? What? Anyway, she goes from, you know, heaven to hell. And it's hard. Man, it is hard. It is really tough. And word comes through Melody, word comes through Ryan that she's thinking about quitting, withdrawing. So our entire family is praying. Now, I have been there. You've seen the decal combat veteran on the back of some vehicles. You see that? Full block letters says combat veteran on the back. I thought about getting that for the back of my truck. So when people ask me what branch of the service I was in, I would say I wasn't in any branch of the service. I was a pastor for 35 years. Amen, I know. And you, I know how tough this is. I know about being in that spot where you go, "What? This is stupid. What am I doing here? Why am I wasting my life in this nonsense?" I've been there. So I get it, Melody. I get it. I understand. But in her case, this would be catastrophic. Without getting into all the personal details of it, it would be, she would get in a hole that she couldn't get out of for years. So we're praying. And I mean the whole family. The keys, I've gone back through this. Yep, the keys, the little cloth bag. But I'm still a skeptic. I still don't get it. I don't get this. I don't understand how this could work. I don't understand how could it possibly work. How could it even be real? I'm really a skeptic. But I love Melody. I want her to succeed. I do not want, she cannot fail. This cannot be. This is not her. This is not, And so, with that extra time I had that day, I did something that I can't remember if I ever did this before. But I went up to my second appointment to the eye doctor, and I parked. And I said, I'm going to pray until that appointment. So, I did. I prayed. I just sat there and prayed. Not like solid every second, but I just prayed for her. And at about the 30-minute mark, something happened. It was like somebody took my backpack off. I didn't take it off. Somebody took my backpack off. It was like this relief. There was this, oh, man. It was subtle, but definite, like a key change in a song. And there were no words, but it was the tone of the whole thing is it's done. Kind of like the car is clean now, turn off the water. Really clear. Man, I thought about all the old saints I've known that have talked about praying through. You know that, you heard that term, praying through? The idea was, I guess, that you pray through. You mean you pray until you get the answer, or you pray until you get the assurance, or you pray. Is this it? Is this it? Because I never experienced that before. So, wow, just sitting there astonished. And it's a half an hour till my appointment. So, well, we knew that Melody would call Ryan on Sunday. And we knew then that we would know. The suspense would be over. But I already knew. We waited. She called Ryan on Saturday and said, Ryan, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it through. Man. Now, I already knew that. And I don't know why I knew it. I don't know how I knew it. I don't get this whole thing. I just know that it's real. And I'm wondering, why would God give me the inside track on this? And I found out later that Ryan had a similar experience of the backpack coming off, the suddenly knowing that she'd be okay. You will quite naturally form your own conclusions about what I've shared with you today. One conclusion you must not form is, wow, that Jay Dudley is spiritually advanced. That would be incorrect. The truth is, I am only in kindergarten. The important thing is that God condescends to communicate with kindergartners. That's what matters. But what does this have to do with everyday life? Well, unlike David, I have no enemies that I know of. But I have had detractors, and I still do. People that take a pot shot here and there, little nick here and there. But the great Thomas A. Kempis said something that is very important. To please everyone is not possible. And he was a monk who lived in a monastery among Christians. To please everyone is not possible. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you. That's good. Well, it's not good to hear because you're a bunch of Christians, but it is good to hear. So in light of these experiences, and they're really my most recent ones, not all of them, but most recent, to my detractors or anyone else, I can say, I don't need you to like me. Because I was saved from doofushood by somebody's prayer. And I have a little cloth bag. And when my dear granddaughter got the victory, I knew about it. I don't care what you think about me. Because of what God has done for me. So, David-like, I can say, the Lord is the light of my life. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Who should I be afraid of? Ultimately, the psalm is not, it just isn't about intimacies between David and God. It's written and preserved so that it can dawn on us, on prayer skeptics like me, that intimacies can happen between humans and God. And I disclose mine this morning for the same reason. I tell you only to tantalize you into finding out for yourself if you don't already know. In closing then, a short paragraph from Prayer for Beginners by Peter Kreeft. Even though your prayer contact with God be almost infinitely poor, the God who we thus contact is infinitely rich. Therefore, we are to be pitied who content ourselves with so little. God has infinite treasure to bestow. I think you know what to do now, but let's give David the last word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the fortress of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.